welcome to visitors who are with us this morning. Everyone is encouraged and reminded to sign the red pew pads and to pass them along and to help your neighbors locate those as needed. There are several announcements in your bulletins this morning. First and foremost, today we remember All Saints. Today is All Saints Sunday. And so you will see pictures on the windows around the sanctuary of the saints in our lives, folks that have been important to us and to our faith. And I encourage you to take a look at those pictures on the windowsills after worship and to see maybe some familiar faces and maybe some new faces, but people who are nevertheless important to members of First Presbyterian Church. You will also find a list in the bulletin of the saints who have been a part of this worshiping community, who have gone to be with the Lord and joined the church triumphant since All Saints Sunday 2018. And we will remember them today as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. There are some meetings that are coming up this week in the life of the church. I invite you to take note of those as needed. This afternoon, after worship, home communion will be served to our shut-ins. So if you are on a home communion team, please pick up your elements and items after worship. Also this afternoon, in the fellowship hall and in the gathering room, there will be a group meeting from the Presbytery of Carlisle to talk about our mission relationship and partnership with the Presbytery of Honduras. The November issue of Meeting House News is also available, and you will see in the bulletin that the sympathy of the congregation is extended to the family of Phyllis Bowman. We prayed for Phyllis last week, and we had been praying for her. Phyllis died on Monday, and her memorial service was here at First Church yesterday afternoon. And so we are grateful to God for Phyllis's life and for her faith, and we continue to pray for her family. Finally, a thank you to everyone who helped with Debbie Madden's reception last week. We had a wonderful send-off for her. Thursday was her last official day here in the office, although her office is far from cleaned out. I know that will strike many of you as a surprise. But we give thanks for Debbie and her ministry and for her years here among us and wish her well in retirement. And a special thank you to everyone who helped in so many different ways with the reception and the party and the gifts. Today, after worship, you're invited to the fellowship hall for our fellowship time after worship. It will be a little extra special today, though, as it is in honor of Bill Stoops. And so we give thanks for Bill and his life as well. But please join us today after worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice together and be glad in it as we worship God. Please stand as we worship God together. We gather to worship God, who loves beyond life or death, with the great cloud of witnesses, by the grace of Christ, in the presence of the Spirit. Let us worship God. is always ever more ready to hear and to forgive than we are to pray and to confess. God knows our needs before we even ask. In penitence and in faith, therefore, let us pray together, confessing our sins. Sovereign God, we confess that we have not turned away from sin. We follow the crowd around you, but stand apart, keeping our distance. We ask for your mercy and favor, but begrudge your blessing to others. Forgive us, God of grace. Come to us and save us, for without you we are lost, but in you our lives are found. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives you all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Just as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, let us also forgive one another and offer signs of peace and reconciliation. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
As God's forgiven people, loved and freed, we gratefully turn our hearts and our minds and our attentions to God's word. Let us pray together. Startle us, O God, with the truth, and open our hearts and our minds to your wondrous love. Speak your word to us, silence in us any voice but your own, and be with us now as we turn our attention, our minds, and our hearts to you, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today's first lesson is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it in your pew Bible in the Old Testament section, page 630. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The New Testament lesson today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is the familiar story of Zacchaeus climbing up in a sycamore tree, which many of you might remember from Sunday school or vacation Bible school, and you may even remember the children's song. I'm not going to make you sing it, unless you want to. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Listen again to the word of the Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm always relieved when Halloween is over, because in the lead up to Halloween, it means that there are a lot of scary movies on TV. And I have to admit that I've never been a big fan of scary movies. My taste in Halloween films doesn't go much beyond "It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown." But I especially don't like scary movies where the audience knows what is behind the door, or in the old barn, or the abandoned house. I don't like when the audience knows that some unsuspecting soul is about to open a door and be terribly hurt. I always want to yell out, "Don't go in there," but they always do, so it doesn't matter. The characters do not know what is behind the door or in the abandoned barn. They don't know what danger lies ahead. They can't see who or what is out there just waiting for them. I was thinking this week about all the things that we can't see in life, all the things that are ahead of us that we don't know that they're there. And it's not just bad things. Our gospel text today is the story of Zacchaeus, and we call Zacchaeus a wee little man because he's just plain short. He literally can't see anything or anyone when he's in that crowd of people, because everybody else is head and shoulders above him. And boy, is there a crowd in Jericho. Jesus is passing through the region, and the crowds are thick along the roadside, and there's little Zacchaeus trying to elbow his way to the front of the crowd, but he can't. He can't do it because nobody really likes Zacchaeus, and they keep stepping in front of him not to let him through. They don't like Zacchaeus because Zacchaeus is probably the most hated man in Jericho. He's a tax collector, you see, and not just any kind of tax collector. He's the chief tax collector for Jericho. He is incredibly rich, but his money comes from the hard work and labor of other men and women who are forced to pay tribute to the Roman Empire through him. Zacchaeus is Rome's man in Jericho. He's loyal, not to his own people, but he's loyal to the emperor. So you can imagine that no one wants to move over to let Zacchaeus through the crowd in order to see Jesus. So Zacchaeus uses his mind. He's not a dumb guy. He runs ahead and he climbs a sycamore fig tree. Sycamore figs are usually very tall trees, and from his perch up in this tree, Zacchaeus has a perfect view of what is happening below. He can see the crowd, he can see Jesus and the disciples approaching, and then suddenly Jesus is right there, right under his feet. He can see the top of his head. What a view. Climbing up that tree sure was a good idea. But not being able to see Jesus from the ground isn't really Zacchaeus' biggest problem. Just as he's passing under Zacchaeus' feet, Jesus stops. He stops, and he brings the crowd to a standstill, and he looks right up into that tree, right into Zacchaeus' eyes, and Jesus says to the little man, "Zacchaeus, hurry, come down from there, for I must stay at your house today." Jesus basically invites himself over for dinner and to stay the night. And Zacchaeus is thrilled. He seems glad for the company. He hurries down from his branch and he welcomes Jesus into his home, undoubtedly the finest in Jericho. If you want to know the truth, I think that Zacchaeus is probably pretty lonely. Because of his job, he is loathed and feared by almost everyone in town, and so he is almost completely isolated from the entire community. No one wants to see him walking down the street. They run for cover whenever he comes outside. They try to avoid him at all cost. The only people who will probably talk to Zacchaeus on a regular basis are his servants, and only because he pays them. But Jesus sees something in Zacchaeus and invites himself into the little man's home. There is something about meeting Jesus that transforms Zacchaeus. The crowds are grumbling, "Oh, that Jesus, he's done it again. He's gone off to be the guest of a sinner." But Jesus pays no mind, and he goes to Zacchaeus' house anyway. He goes to eat with Zacchaeus and to spend the night. He listens to the man's life story in a way that no one else has ever listened before. And in listening and in breaking bread with Zacchaeus, the tax collector is transformed. His eyes are opened in a sense, in a way that they have never been before. And suddenly, for the second time that day, he understands. He sees clearly what is happening. Zacchaeus, I don't think he initially understands just how much he is hurting his fellow Jews, the people of Jericho. But Jesus opens his eyes. Tax collectors in the ancient world, if you don't know anything about tax collectors in the ancient world, they are allowed to collect as much money as they want. You think the IRS is bad. Doesn't hold a candle to ancient Rome. They're allowed to collect as much money as they want from the people, to gouge it out of them at any cost. There's no tax brackets in ancient Rome. Everybody had to pay. And Rome required only a certain amount of what was collected, a certain percentage, and the tax collectors were allowed to keep the rest. It was their compensation, their pay for this, shall we say, rather unpleasant job. Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector, so that adds a whole nother layer of bureaucracy to this mess. And he doesn't understand how his actions are hurting the people of Jericho. In his mind, he's just doing his job. In the reading from Isaiah we heard this morning, we hear God criticizing the Israelites. The chosen people, they no longer seem to have much of a relationship with God. They're simply going through the motions of their faith. It looks like they're being faithful, but they're not. And God says to them, just going through the motions, that's not enough. What is it to me, the multitude of your sacrifices, the Lord asks. I've had enough of your burnt offerings. I do not delight in the blood of bulls. I cannot endure your solemn assemblies anymore. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. It sounds awful, doesn't it? It sounds awful. But the Lord does not abandon his people, even though he is displeased with them. He does not leave his people to their own devices. Instead, God gives them instructions. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, God says. Learn instead to do good. Seek justice. And God gives these examples. Rescue the oppressed and defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. These standards of biblical justice. God, you see, wants mercy, not sacrifice. God wants a relationship with his people, not just people who go through the motions. Thursday, at the end of October, was Reformation Day. It's a time to remember and celebrate the Protestant Reformation that began 502 years ago when Martin Luther publicly disagreed with the Catholic Church. We are heirs here in the Presbyterian Church of that tradition, the tradition that says that you can't just go through the motions, that it's not enough. Salvation does not just come from penance and good works. It can't be bought with money, Luther says. True salvation, he teaches, comes by grace through faith. It is a gift from God. It invites us to examine our lives, to repent of our sins, to enter into a life-giving, transformative relationship with our Creator. Zacchaeus doesn't understand, you see, how his work as the chief tax collector is hurting people. He doesn't understand, that is, until he meets Jesus and everything is changed. Look, Zacchaeus says to the Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. The translation that I read from this morning is a bit misleading in the way it translates these words. Zacchaeus, his promises are not conditional. It's translated, I will, if. But the way it really reads in the Greek, the promises are not conditional. Zacchaeus is using simple present verbs. So what he's really saying is, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone anything, I restore it fourfold. Talk about a change of heart. Climbing up that sycamore tree allowed Zacchaeus to see Jesus, but meeting Jesus profoundly changes his life. Zacchaeus realizes just how awful his actions have been. And immediately and dramatically, he sets about making things right. He gives away half of everything he owns to the poor. And all those people who were defrauded by his shady tax collecting practices, they are going to receive back four times as much as they paid. This is dramatic and it is sudden. this change of heart comes as a direct result of meeting Jesus, there can really be no other explanation. Even if Zacchaeus was a good, observant Jew, he would know that according to the law of Moses, fourfold restitution, paying someone back four times, is only required if the robbery was deliberate and violent. Even if it was just an ordinary, plain old robbery, then it would only be double the value of goods that had to be repaid. Zacchaeus is determined to do far more than what the law requires of him. It's not just a change of words, but a complete and total change of life. This is what Jesus demands and requires of us. He wants to transform us, to mold us and shape us into the people of God. But we are not like Zacchaeus, because this is usually not something that happens in an instant, this change of heart, this change of life. Discipleship is more often than not the slow work of transformation that takes a long, long time. Zacchaeus, by his words and extravagant deeds, shows the world that he is a changed man, a man who is being transformed by the living Christ. It's always tempting, isn't it, to look at someone like Zacchaeus and to scoff a bit. Well, yeah, sure, he seems to have changed, but I knew him when he was really bad. Anybody ever said anything like that before? I knew him way back when, and I don't think he could ever change. If we're honest with ourselves, we've probably all said, or at least thought, something like that about someone we know. It's easy to think that some people just can't change or won't change. That's what the first Christians thought about Paul when he became a believer after his experience on the road to Damascus. A leopard can't change his spots, they said. Certainly, he still hates us. And you can bet that's what the people of Jericho must have thought about Zacchaeus. Oh, he says he met Jesus, but I know what he is like. That's what they're saying about Zacchaeus. That is, until they started getting their money back. After meeting Jesus, Zacchaeus is a changed man. The proof is in the pudding. The check is in the mail. He's heard what the Lord has said to him today. Today, salvation has come to this house, because Zacchaeus is also a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. You see, Jesus, when he says that, what he's saying is that Zacchaeus is more than a sinner. He's more than a tax collector. He's more than what the people of Jericho see him as. He's a son of Abraham. He is redeemed. He is a child of God. Like Zacchaeus, we can't always see or understand the full effects of our sinfulness. But that doesn't stop Jesus from inviting himself into our lives and totally transforming us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to eat with you and you with me. When we meet Jesus, we are forced to recognize the depth of our sin and the need for our repentance, the need for our healing, just like Zacchaeus. And like Zacchaeus, when we meet Jesus, we discover that God has put a claim on us. You see, we are like Zacchaeus in more ways than we realize, because Jesus has put a claim on us. Jesus calls us children of Abraham. We are more than sinners. We are more than what the world sees in us. We are more than what our friends and neighbors in Carlisle see in us. We are beloved children of God. Beloved children of God. It's like what the prophet Isaiah says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. A table has been set before us today, spread out by our Lord Jesus, who invites us to come and to eat with him, to share his flesh and blood, broken and shed for each of us. Here at this table, we are reminded in a very tangible way that we are more than what the world sees in us. We are more than just sinners. Here at this table, we are reminded that we are children of Abraham, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, help us in every way to remember who we are, to remember our identity in Christ Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Affirm what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, our hearts are restless, O God, until they find rest in you. Gracious God, we admit that we are often confused about ourselves. We forget that you have called us and that you have claimed us, and we allow the world to speak our identity to us, forgetting that you call us beloved, forgetting that you call us your children. Lord, help us to remember that we are more than what the world says we are, that we are more than what we think we are. Help us to remember, O God, that we are your children, that we are privileged and blessed to call you God and Father, that we consider Jesus our brother and our Savior, that the Holy Spirit sojourns with us and fills us with peace and light and hope and joy and love and mercy and grace. Remind us, Lord, of these things. Remind us that you call us beloved. Lord, as we gather this day, we gather as a community. We gather as a community knowing that there are those among us who are rejoicing this day and that there are those among us mourning. We know that there are joys and concerns. We know that there are things that keep us awake at night and haunt us by day. And so, Lord, whatever we are feeling today, we turn it over to you, knowing, Lord, that you work in and through all things to bring about good for those who love you. As we've gathered here today, Lord, we pray for the Bowman family. We pray that you would surround them with your love and care and remind them of the resurrection in Jesus Christ. We pray for others who are grieving today, for those who are sick and in need of your healing touch. We pray for those who are near and dear to us, even though they may be far away. Lord, in all things, we trust that you and your great love for us and for all people will work out. Lord, as we gather this day and as we prepare to come to your table, we are reminded of all those who have come to your table before you, those who have been faithful in years and decades and centuries past, who have gathered in this meeting house, in this sanctuary, to sing your prayers and praises. Lord, we are grateful to be surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, to be surrounded by those who have kept the faith and fought the fight. We are grateful to be surrounded by those who have loved us and who have taught us and reminded us that you love us too. Lord, on this day, as we gather, we pray for all the concerns that have gone unspoken and unsaid, the things that are in our hearts and on our minds, that our lips tremble to name, but which you know. Speak to us, Lord. Give us your peace and your calm, that we might know your presence. For we pray all this, trusting in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have the opportunity as God's people to give back to God a portion of what God has given to us in this life, the blessings that God has bestowed on us. As the ushers come forward, let us give thanks to God in the giving of our tithes and offerings. Together, let us pray. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to render to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you, not with our lips only, but with our whole lives, turning the duties, the sorrows, and the joys of all our days into a living sacrifice to you.
through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends in Christ, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south and sit at table together in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. It is not my table or your table or even the church's table. This is the Lord's table. And our faithful Savior invites those who trust in him and have been baptized to share in this feast which has been prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world, for your promises to your people Israel, and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels and with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Today we remember those who have gathered at this table in times past and who have been fed at this table by our Lord.
We remember and give thanks for John Crum, Constance Hutchison, Roberta Graff, Harold Kretzing, Jim Compton, Dick Summers, Clark Heffelfinger, Dennis Rydberg, John Snayman, James Peffer, Bill Stoops, and Phyllis Bowman. Unite us in faith, O God. Encourage us with hope. Inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory together. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh in the holy and life-giving spirit, now and forever. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. This morning we invite you to come forward by the center aisle to receive the elements by intinction and to return to your seats by the side aisle. The gluten-free option is available by the baptismal font. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let the people come. Let us pray together. We thank you, eternal God, that you have fed us in this sacrament, uniting us with Christ and with all the faithful who have come before us, who have served you with courage and with joy. Renewed for our daily living in this world, may we remember that we belong to you and that you lead us into newness of life. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
now go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor all people, love, and serve the Lord rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God Almighty. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.